Today is the Shabbos, Parashas Vayikra, the beginning of it's a new beginning of a new Chumash. It's also Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and it's Parashas HaChodesh. HaChodesh is Elohim Rosh Chodesh. There are many things happening in the Shabbos, but the most basic thing is Shabbos. It's the beginning of Chumash Vayikra. Chumash Vayikra deals with Karbanos. Let me share with you an idea. I think it's a very beautiful idea. Why do we bring korbanos? What is the fundamental? What's the purpose of korbanos? So there's a famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says the purpose of bringing a korban. It sounds very strange. If you think about it, it's very strange. The world today, the secular world, doesn't have any understanding of what a korban is about. Take an animal, you kill an animal, and you take its blood and you pour on the mizbeach, and you burn the fats, and the kohanim eat the meats, and the hide is given as a gift to the kohanim. What is this all about? The truth is, we really don't understand what it's about. We don't have any understanding. But the Torah says this is how it is, and the Rambam says the truth is, the only reason why we have korbanos is an outlet for avodah zarah. In other words, the world at the point when the Torah was given, most of the world offered animals to gods, sacrifices to all different types of gods. And the Jewish people, to a certain degree, were influenced by the practices of the secular world, of the pagan world. So Hashem said, don't, and we have to also understand that at this point in time there was the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, something which we have no understanding. The Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah was abolished by the Anshei Knesset HaGadola in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. So we really have no understanding what it means, a desire, a passion, lust to offer sacrifices to idols. But there did exist such a thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that we had yearning, we had an urge, we had an inclination to follow the ways of the non-Jews. Therefore, Hashem said, don't bring the sacrifices to these gods, bring them to me. It's nothing more than a permissible way to offer sacrifices. This is the opinion, it's a famous, well-known opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam is very difficult. The Ramban and many others are very opposed to the idea of the Rambam, because we find that Adam HaRishon also offered sacrifices to Hashem. Noah offered sacrifices to Hashem. And at this point in time, there was no idolatry. It didn't exist. These things came about much later. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the korban of Adam HaRishon. And there are many other rayos that korbanos have nothing to do with a permitted form of offering a sacrifice. Okay, so this is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Why do we offer sacrifice? Is it because Hashem saw that we were inclined to follow the ways of the non-Jewish world, and Hashem gave us a permissible fashion of offering sacrifices? Bring it to me, don't bring it to these false gods. Or it's a way of, I'll explain the Ramban. The Ramban says, what then is the purpose of a korban? It's a way of coming close to Hashem. There are many approaches, or the simplest approaches, when a person brings a korban, he says, I really should offer myself. I have sinned. Or I want to give a gift to Hashem. I am willing to give my neshama to Hashem. I have sinned. I deserve to die. So let me take this animal. An animal is the closest thing to man. It's a living creature. Let the animal be my representative. Let it serve in my place. And when a person would witness the animal's death, he would say, I really should be giving up my life. When a person would see the blood being poured on the mizbech, he would say, it's really my blood that should be poured on the mizbech. When he sees the fats being burnt, he would say, it should be my fats that are being burnt. This would humble man. It would bring man close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's hard for us to understand what this is about, and not necessarily need to understand what this is about, but it's a way of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the opinion of the Ramban.
And it's authorized by Hashem.
Absolutely. Authorized and instructed by Hashem. There are 12 korbanos.
Something voluntary that man thought about.
No. This was invented by Hashem. This was invented by Hashem. Hashem created the world, and this is what He wants should be done. Hashem created the world for man. Man is the crown of creation, and man is the way man can come as a technique for man to come close to Hashem is by offering sacrifice. This is the opinion of the Ramban. Now, we are very well aware that today we have no korbanos, and in place of korbanos, Nishal Mafodim Sifoseinu Udavin. Our prayers today are in the place of korbanos. That's Pashat. The reason why we daven Shachar, Smincha, and Ma'ariv, there are basically two reasons why we have three prayers. One approach is it corresponds to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but the second approach is it corresponds to the Tomid Shal Shachar, and the Tomid Shal Bein Harbayim, and the burning of the Imurim on the Mizbeach the entire evening. Shachar is Shal Shachar, Mincha is Tomid Shal Bein Harbayim, and this that we daven Ma'ariv is since the Imurim, the fats and the limbs of the carbon continue to burn the entire night on the Mizbeach, we also daven Ma'ariv. Now, going back to the machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban, and Farshim, Darshanim say the truth is Eilu Vo'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. When Hashem gave us, when we offer a sacrifice, when Klal Yisrael offers sacrifices, they're both right. On the one hand, it also, it's like the Ramban, it's a way of coming close to Hashem. It's a very high level of Eskarvus to Hashem. But it's also true that Korbanos served as a permissible outlet for a person's desire to offer sacrifices like the Goyim. There's also truth to the Rambam. Today, person davens three times a day. Every Orthodox Jew davens three times a day. It's ideal, and it's required to daven with a minyan, to come to shul. You come to the Beis HaKnesses with a minyan three times a day. But not everyone has that ability. People are very busy, they work, and not everyone has an opportunity with the ability to daven with a minyan. So a person davens at home. And unfortunately, a person davens at home more and more, so it becomes regular. And even when he does have an opportunity to daven with a minyan in shul, he sometimes prefers to daven at home. So I saw in the Sefer, I think it's Aresha Sifoseinu by Rav Schlesinger, he says, when a person davens at home, the yichidus, it's a davening, it's a wonderful thing. But it's like the sheet of the Rambam. You're bringing the karbon just as a way not to be like the goyim. When you come to shul and you daven with a tzibur, this is bringing a karbon lefi the Ramban. Iskarvus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a higher level. You daven at home. Okay, davening at home is a wonderful thing. It's we're different than the rest of the world. We recognize everything depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our prayers help in receiving bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not a very high level. It's only that far you can go when you daven the yichidus. It's a karbon. It's a wonderful thing. But it's a karbon like the Rambam. Just don't be like Kechol Hamoinam, Shehein Mishtachavim Lehedol Varikul Mispalin El Elo Yashiach Va'anachnu Koirim Mishtachavim Mo'adim Lefnei Melech Malchim Lochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're different. We're Klal Yisrael. But to achieve the higher level of Iskarvos of the Ramban, you have to be part of something special. To be part of something special, you need to be part of a community, to be part of a sakneses, to be part of a shul. That's already, it's not just, we're different than the guy. We're anyway different than the guy. But we want more, a special relationship. That is tefillah b'tzibah. So it's a very nice day to review. We have korbanos. There are two dinim in korbanos. There is the Rambam. There is the Ramban. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Bezman hazeh we have tefillah b'mkoyim korbanos. U'neshal mo'forim sifoseinu. There are two types of tefillah. There's a tefillah lefi the Rambam and a tefillah lefi the Ramban. Where? Davening b'yichidus verse coming together with a tzibur, having chaverim and doing it in a special way.
Yeah. Tefillah is sort of like optional. When you have the desire to ask for something, it doesn't have to be on a regular basis, just when you want to request something from God.
Well, in korbanos, there are korbanos that are required. There are the korbanos every single day. You must bring tamishal shachar, tamishal ben abayim. Person sins, he must bring a chatas. And then there are voluntary korbanos. Person can bring whenever he wants a korban olam. There's no requirement, it's a gift. So it's both. It's both. Okay, I want to bring another, it's a short idea. It's a Bala Turim. You know that I'm not a Gematria person, I always tell you that, but sometimes a Bala Turim It's very good. The first Baal HaTur, I think it's the first Baal HaTur in Parshas Vayikra. The Baal HaTur says, Vayikra El Moshe, Roshe, not the first one, it's the third one, Vayikra El Moshe, Roshe Tevos Ima. Okay, and he goes on to explain, he has a parish of why, Be'atara She'itra Loi Ima. Roshe Tevos Ima. Let me explain it honestly. Vayikra El Moshe. The first letter of Vayikra is a Vav. Mm-hmm. The second word of Chumash Vayikra is an Aleph. El. The third letter is Moshe. Mem. Mem. Aleph. Vav. We have to, it's not in order. Take the Aleph of the second. Then take the Mem of Moshe. And then take the Vav of Vayikra. Is Imo. His mother. Chumash Vayikra opens with a remez to the mother, his mother. The mother of who? I don't know, but it says Imo. Now, if I would say this, you would laugh, right? But this is a Baal HaTur. Mm-hmm. Baal HaTur is Kodesh Kodashim, and this is what he explains when he says that this pasuk refers to the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is like the crown, the crown, She'itroloi Imoi, that his mother crowned him. Okay, you have to look what he means. He explained what the Baal HaTur means. I'm sure there are many perushim on what the Baal HaTur means. I just want to tell you another idea I saw in the Lekach Lahalavov. The Lekach Lahalavov is a beautiful. What's the reference? The first three words of Chumash Vayikra to the word Imo. There used to be a tradition. It could be they still do it today. I asked about this, and someone told me they do it in a token way. That children, the first thing children are taught is Chumash Vayikra. It's a Chazal. Chazal says Yovoi Tehoirim. The Yasoik Bat Betahara. Lubavitch. You have to bring children what they do. Yovoi let Tehoirim, children are pure, children have not sinned, let them be Oisek in Tahara. Karbonos brings town, person sins, he brings the carbon, he achieves a degree of Tahara. So it's proper to bring the pure children to learn about Taharas. Now, when I was a child, I have no recollection of learning Chumash Vayikra. We learned Bereishis. I asked someone recently, he told me they still learn in the Litvish Yeshivas Bereishis, but some of them, the first thing they teach the children is the first pasuk. They teach the children the pasuk of Vayikra El Moshe Vaydav Hashem Elom El Moed Lamar. They teach them that pasuk. They tell them basically what Chumash Vayikra is about, and then they start Bereishis Bara Elokim. So they fulfill this at least in a token form of teaching them the first pasuk. It could be, you mentioned the Lubavitch, I don't know, I'm sure you look around, it's a chazal, it's not like a gematria, some modern 21st century invention. This is an ancient custom, and it's a chazal. So the Lekach Vahalavov of Avraham Shur explains, why is Halekach Vahalavov by Rav Avraham Shur. There are many volumes, so you have to know which volume there are. Every has a lot of it. So he explains, why do we refer to Imo, the first pasuk in Chumash Vayikra? Because Yovoi Tehoirim, V'yasek B'tahara, why is the child pure? Where does the child receive its tahara from? The mother. Who raises the children? It's the mother. Children don't just grow in the field. Children are not weeds that just spring up. It takes a lot of effort to have a child. Have a child, to take care of the child, to nurture the child until the child is ready to come, the cheder, whatever age it is, to be zocha, to come. That first day when the child is taken to learn the first pasuk in the Torah, a lot of effort went in to producing a child that can be called Yovoi Tehoirim. Let the pure ones come. Generally, the fathers are not that involved with the infants. Fathers are at work, they're busy, it's the mother that is metapel. So therefore, the credit of Yovoi Tehoirim, the Yasoik, the Tahara, is Ima. That's why the Torah gives credit in the first Pasuk of Vayikra to the mother. Okay, next, another idea. There's a medrash. A medrash, it's not called medrash pli, it's medrash rabbah. This is like run of the mill, right? This is like right, like this, the Aleph Beis of Midrashim. I think it's the beginning of the second parsha, right in the beginning of Chumash Vayikra. Vayikra El Moshe, Hadohu d'chsiva. Maybe I'm not quoting it exactly. Haben yaker li Ephraim. Mayin zelazeh. What does Ephraim have to do? Haben yaker li Ephraim. Pasuk in Yirmi, right? Haben yaker li Ephraim. What does this pasuk in Yirmi have to do with the beginning of Chumash Vayikra? So, and I also saw this in Halekach VaHalavuv, but it's not exactly what he says. I'm changing it a little bit, to adapt it to for our purposes. We know there's a famous Balei Tosfos. Balei Tosfos appears in the back of the Mikros Gedolos. It's the Das Zekeinim, called the Das Zekeinim in the Balei Tosfos. Why did I'm not sure I'm saying exactly what he says, but the idea is there. Why did Yosef name his second son Ephraim? His first son was Menashe, and his second son was Ephraim. So the Das Zekeinim says that Ephraim is the plural for the word Efer, Ash. Ash, the word for Ash is Efer. When you add a Yud, Mem, singular in Lashon Kodesh, a word that singular becomes a plural. So Efer, we want to make the word Efer into a plural, we add a Yud Mem, and it turns into Ephraim. Why? So what? Okay, so the name Ephraim really represents a double portion of Esh. Why is Ephraim called? What is Yosef referring to by calling his second son a double portion of Esh? He was naming his son after his great grandfather and his grandfather. He was naming his son after Avraham and Yitzhak. He wouldn't name it after Yaakov. Yaakov was still alive, but he was naming it after his grandfather Yitzhak and after his great grandfather Avraham. Why? Because Avraham said about himself, "V'anochi ofar v'efer." Avraham said about himself that he's nothing more than Esh. Yitzhak was offered as a carbon at the Akedah, and after the Malach told Avraham, "Al tishach yodchel lanar," do not continue to slaughter Yitzchak. The pasuk says, "Vayisena vayar v'hinei ayil achar nechas basvach." He took the ayil and he offered the ayil in place of his son Yitzchak. And Chazal tell us the ash, the efer of that ayil that Abraham offered in place of his son is tzavur, is piled in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever as a reminder of the Akedah and as a zechus for Klal Yisrael. Efer shel Yitzchak tzavur lefana before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yitzchak was also Efer. Yitzchak was saved. The replacement, the tamura for Yitzchak was the ayil, which was transformed into ash. And that ash, Chazal say, Ephraim shel Yitzchak tzavur lefanav, is piled before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he named his son Ephraim as a reminder of his great-grandfather Avraham, who said about himself, Anochi ofar v'efer, and after his grandfather Yitzchak, that in his chus, Ephraim shel Yitzchak, he's also considered ash. This Chumash Vayikra begins the parasha of Korbanos. There are two functions in a korban. When you bring a korban, we focus on the giver, the one who's offering the korban. When you bring a korban, you're offering a gift. I have a korban, I want to give a gift to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I take the best animal I have, fatten the animal, I buy an expensive animal, I prepare it, I say vidui, and I offer this carbon as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A carbon, within the giving of a carbon, comes the kavana of the noisei. But there's another idea in korbanos, and that is the person who offers the carbon should view himself as if he was the animal. Really, I should give up my neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am deserving of death for my sins, and I should sacrifice myself. I can't. So instead, let the animal serve as my replacement. I identify with the animal. I am the animal. Two different ideas.
Like the Ramban.
Two different ideas in the carbon. On the one hand, you're giving a gift. I come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to give you a gift to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's me. I'm giving you a gift. Number two, there's another idea, they're both true. Really, what happened to the animal should happen to me. I view myself in the place of the animal. Ephraim captures Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the most precious thing in this world, his son. He gave, Hashem, you want me to give you a gift? What do you want me to give you? I want you to give me your son Yitzchak. Give him up for me. The Noisei, Avraham. But Yitzchak gave up himself. Yitzchak is the abject which has been sacrificed, which has been given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The term Ephraim captures the complete scope of what a carbon is all about. Avraham and Yitzchak, the giver, the kavanah of the noisein, and the kavanah of the object that has been offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham and Yitzchak together capture the complete gamut, the complete scope of what a korban is all about. Therefore, that's why the Medrash begins Chumash VaYikra, at least in Parsha Beis, Habein Yaker Li Ephraim, captures both ends of a korban. Okay, now let us go to another idea. Okay, this idea, it's not a complete idea. It's raw. So I leave it to you to work out the details. I just want to present a little bit of an idea of those type of a drush. A lot of big thinkers here. You'll work out the details. Every day in davening, I make a bracha, sha'osali kol tzarki. Did I speak about this one? Sha'osali kol tzarki. Every day we make a bracha. The Hashem, there are two brachas that are said in the past tense. That's not the point I want to make. This bracha, Hanoisin lasech vivina lahavkin, but the bracha we want to focus on now is the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam she'asa li kol tzarki. Hashem has provided me with all of my needs. Chazal explained, what are we specifically referring to? Shoes. And me'ikar hadin, years ago, it used to, when a person whose hands were clean and was able to have proper kavana, when you put on your shoes, you would make the bracha she'asa li kol tzarki. Why shoes? So let's take a step back. We know in this world there are four different types of objects. There is doinim, tzoneach, chayim, medaber. There are a group. There's a category of objects in this world called doinim, no life whatsoever. The earth, stone, soil. There's no life. There's no chios in the earth, in a stone. It's domain. It's silent. Then we come to the next level. The next level is tzoneach, objects which are alive. Vegetables, grass, plants, vegetation, things which grow from the ground. There is some degree of life, because after they are cut off from their source, they wither, they die, they turn into dust. But they live, they develop, and they grow. That's called tzoneach. Then comes chai, animals, insects, fish, living creatures. There is definitely some form of life in this category. And then comes the highest level, adam, medaber, human being, the koyach hadibur, intellect, knowledge. Okay, the four different levels. Doimim, tzoneach, chai, medaber. Each one of these levels, these categories, lives off the lower level. The tzoneach derives its sustenance from the doimim.
Yeah.
Doimim is the lowest level, and the doimim is the foundation, is the support system for the tzoneach. The chai, what do animals eat? Animals eat grass. Every form of chai needs some type of vegetation, needs some type of object which comes from the ground to live.
Okay, so the food chain.
The food chain. So the tzoneach, the chai, lives off the tzoneach, which in turn lives off the doimim. Adam, a kol shata tachas raglech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given man everything. Pasuk in Tehillim, Kol Shat Tachas Raglecha. Man dominates animals. Man eats basar, but more than just basar, man takes the hide of animals, and he uses it to create tools, to create for construction, man lives off, benefits greatly from the chai. Man eats the meat of the chai. Man uses the bones, the or the hide of the chai for man's purposes. Sha'asali kol tzarka, what we assume, a person, the world is a dangerous world. It's not possible for a person to walk around barefoot out in the world. Impossible. A person needs shoes. Shoes, ancient times, today as well, is made from leather. When man puts on shoes, he is conquering to a certain degree. It represents the fact that man has conquered. He's dominant over the food chain, over the level directly beneath him, the chai, because he uses the leather from the animal for mobility, to go out into the world and to conquer the world. So therefore, when we say, when a person puts on shoes, he makes the bracha, sha'asali kol tzarki. You've given me everything, all of my needs. By giving me shoes, you've given me shalita over the chai, which in turn derives its sustenance from the tzemach, which gets sustenance from the domain. Man is on top of this pyramid, which means everything, the entire world, has been used for the benefit of Adam. This is what part of the deeper meaning of why a person makes the bracha, sha'asali kol tzarki, when he puts on shoes, because shoes is leather. And there's a chazal. This was very interesting to me. There's a chazal, and the chazal said, now, no, before we go further, let me just take another idea. We're coming to the point I want to make. But when a person brings a karban, to a certain degree, he's doing the same exact thing. When a person brings a karban, it represents, here I am the medaber, the highest level, and I'm bringing to Hashem the chai. And there's another medrash that says that when a person brings a karban, you really have all four together. Because a karban, every karban requires salt. Mm-hmm. This is just going off the top. Salt is the category of daimen. It's daimen. And the person, every karban is accompanied with yayin and a mincha. Minchas nesachim. What?
The animal
needs the grass to grow, to survive. But even in the carbon itself, you add salt. And the carbon is accompanied by a mincha and nisachim, which is a tzemeach. And the animal is the chai. And the person confesses over the carbon. He says, vidui, that person is bringing the carbon. So in every carbon, you really have all four ingredients. The tzemeach, the doimim, the salt, the tzemeach. But the Adam himself, he says vidui. He adds his dibur before the person sacrificed the carbon. He weighs down on the animal and he confesses his sins. So that's the dibur. That's the chai. All four ingredients go into every single carbon. But the point is, we don't need to come on to that. When a person takes an animal and he takes the life of the animal and offers to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what he's really doing is something very similar to putting on shoes. Just when the person takes shoes, he shows that he dominates the world. He's taken the chai. The chai he's going out into is going to conquer the world. Without the leather of the animal, he would not be able to go out into the world, conquer the world. He needs the animal. He's conquering the animal. When a person sacrifices an animal called the Shbaruch, what he's really showing is that he is on the top. He is in control of the Bria, and he is taking the item, the category that is directly beneath him, the chai. And the chai in turn is dominant over the other two levels. But Adam is using this as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show that he recognizes sha'asali kol tzarki. You have provided me with everything that I've need. The entire world was given to man for benefit in order to use as a tool to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So offering a karban is very much parallels the idea of putting on shoes. Yeah.
From the perspective that you said before, that man makes a carbon instead of himself. So you could say that by making a carbon, the person is sort of subjugating himself to Hashem,
yeah,
because he's giving of himself
everything beneath him.
Right, beneath him to Hashem.
To Hashem. Right. So exactly, right. That's who I mean.
In the fourth level, Hashem.
Right.
Right. You bring everything up to the fifth level, correct. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, correct. Well, that's what I mean.
The other way we state it is that since man dominates all the other categories below him, and yet
he still gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
therefore everything
belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Correct. Now, here's what I found. This is what I find very interesting, which requires you will have to develop in your own way. There's a chazal. Chazal say a person. They also use this chazal to explain why we make the bracha sha'asali kol tzargi. Chazal says a person should sell even the koiros beso and purchase shoes. You should never be without a pair of shoes. If you don't have shoes and you have shelter, it's kedai. You're better off selling the beams of your home to purchase shoes for your feet. It's more important to have shoes than to have shelter. Lo'olam yimkar adam afilu koiros beisar v'yikne min olim l'raglav. It's a chazal. Therefore, a person has shoes, it means he must also have a home. He must also have other possessions. Because if he did not have all these other possessions, he would not be able to have shoes. So therefore, you make the bracha on shoes, sha'asali kol tzarki. Shoes, the fact that I'm wearing shoes shows that I have something else. Because if I didn't have other things, if I didn't have shoes, I would have to sell all of my possessions in order to acquire shoes. But Chazal, when they emphasize, this is the point I want to make, when they emphasize how important it is to have shoes, they tell us, sell your house. The house is not so important. It's more important to have. They could have give another example. Sell your shirt. Sell your food. Sell your table. No, sell your house so that you have shoes. Now the Rishonim, they take this chazal and they have a beautiful mashal. They explain Hashem put a person in this world. What's the purpose? To go sit in the corner? To lock yourself up in a little corner and isolate yourself? That's not the purpose. Hashem wants you to be productive, to be active, to be a participant in this world, to go out and do something. V'chevshua. In your home, you don't need shoes. Well, it depends where you live. But if you're in a good shelter, you can walk around barefoot. In fact, many times you go to someone, you look at them, why are you walking around without shoes? You wear slippers. At home, you know your environment, it's safe, you don't need to wear shoes. But that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants you, out in the world, you need shoes. You can't walk around in the street without a pair of shoes. Don't sit home, Chazal say. Don't sit in your little corner. La'olam yimkar adam afilu koyo spacer v'yimkar. And you should purchase shoes so you can go out into the world and you can accomplish something. That's what Chazal say. Now what's so interesting is the ultimate bias is the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Ki Beisi, Beis Tefillah L'chol Ho'amim. The ultimate bias is the Beis HaMikdash. And what are you doing about it? Take off your shoes. That's not our inner truth. Of course, you have to walk barefoot because it's a holy place. It's another story. But what are you doing in the Beis HaMikdash? You're Karbonus. And Karbonus is the ultimate form of wearing shoes, as we explained. Sha'asli called Tzarki represents that you have conquered the Bria. Everything that you're on top of, the Chai, which is on top of the Tzameach and the Daimon. When you bring a carbon, it's even more than that. It's exactly the same idea. So it's amazing. Chazal, when they want to tell you about wearing shoes, they tell you, forget about the house. Get out of the house. Get out of the house and go out into the world. The house and shoes are contradictions. They're opposites. Being in the home, you don't need shoes. You're isolated. You're protected. You're sheltered. I don't want you to be all alone. I want you to do something in this world. V'chevshua. Get a pair of shoes and get rid of your house. But in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the ultimate bias, that's where you bring karbanos. You're not allowed to bring a karban outside the Beis HaMikdash. Shchudichutz, karis. You're not allowed to have a bama with b'shman she, the Beis HaMikdash chayim. So what's going on over here? So let me just give you a mashal. And I was in yeshiva, I used to always say, I don't know if they really say this, but people would say, oh, we're in yeshiva, you know, you're in high school, you're in Bismedrish. This is not the real world. The real world, go to work.
Go get the shoes.
Go to work. That's the real, when you sweat, and when you come home 12 o'clock at night, and when every day you feel threatened, you're going to lose your job, and you have to make parnasa to support your family, that's the real world. This here in yeshiva, this is make believe. You learn of Daf Gemara, Shar, Shenarich Sapara. This is the land of make believe. Okay, people say that, but it's very interesting that people. I've heard this speech a few times. People who are very successful, they go out into the world. They're very successful. Even people that are not so successful, they're failures. There's something missing out there. There's something missing out there in the world, and they come to a realization that the real world is the Beis Medrash. That's the real world. The world out there where you make money and you're successful and you have all the latest gadgets and cars and parnassa and vacations and success as defined by the world, there's something missing. There's something that's just missing. The real Sipuk HaNefesh is the Beis Medrash. Shor Shenoga Chesapara, this is the real world. When Chazal say, sell your house and go out into the world, that's where your home is. Just a home. It's a home. It's a shelter. You're locked up in the home. You sit home. Sit on the, watch television. Don't do that. Go out into the world. But when you're dealing with a bias that's where the Shekhinah is resting, that's the real world. That's the world where you wear shoes, where you express what shoes are all about. In the Beis HaMikdash, the place where the Shekhinah is resting, that is where you wear the ultimate type of shoe by putting on, by bringing a carver. In a place of Ruchniyus is where you will find the ultimate kibush. It's the ultimate training ground for how the world works. Okay, this is a little bit deep, and I told you you have to finesse this the right way. But there's definitely truth to this. It's Chazal, it's a fascinating class. Sell your house and get a pair of shoes. The two are totally different. And yet in the ultimate bias, Ki Beis Yibeis Tefilu L'Chol O'Amim is the only place where you're allowed to wear the real shoes. The real shoes are the shoes of bringing a carbon. What does that mean? There are different types of batim. There's a bias of Hashuas Hashchina, and there's a bias where it's a different type where it's not the bias of Hashuas Hashchina. That's where get out, go get a pair of shoes and do something. But in Hashuas Hashchina, that's the real place of shoes. Just to, okay, you have to work this out. Okay, you have to work. I just want to emphasize.
How would you go back to your?
Okay, you have to work it out. It has to be finessed.
Yeah.
The idea is there. The idea is there. It's a raw idea, which I just want, it's something you have to think about how to properly understand this idea, but you have to take note of these to Maamar Chazal. Tefillin. Tefillin are very similar to shoes. And tefillin is called the bias. There are four batim, the four compartments. It's a bias. And what is tefillin made out of? Leather. And what do the tefillin have? Straps. Just like shoes. Shoes have straps. The ancient shoes, we're not talking about our modern day shoes. Our modern day shoes is not what the ancient shoes. There is such a thing. Like there are halachos of what you put to the white tefillin. There are very strict requirements for tefillin. But it's interesting that shoes, and what are shoes made from? What is tefillin made from? What is the bias made from? Leather. And where do you put, and again, so it's a bias. It has that same idea of bias, made from leather. With straps like shoes, and where are the tefillin? Not all the way on the bottom of the person, the extreme opposite, on top of the person. So you see the different types of different. The tefillin represent the Beis Hamikdash. There are shoes that are beneath you. When it comes to the mundane matters, v'chivshua, don't sit at home. Go out into the world. V'chivshua, take that leather. Take that leather and use it as a tool to conquer the world. Get out of your house. But when you're dealing with the ruchnius, spirituality, don't go anywhere. You put it on top of your head. It's the same bias. It's the bias.
Yeah.
The bias, tefillah shoyah, tefillah shavosh, it's called the bias, made from leather, the ultimate form with the straps. No, not as a tool to run around. Adarab, it's filled with kedusha. You can't run around in the street with your tefillin. You have to be in a confined mokum tsunua with the kedusha of tefillin. So you see these ideas, they come together. Okay, so one very, very short vart, and then we're finished. Today is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos, this is from Rabbi Moshe Wolfson in Sefer Emunah Sitecha. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is a very special Shabbos because in Shabbos Rosh Chodesh we say Atoyotzart, the musaf of the tefillah. The most of the tefillah of Rosh Chodesh, we don't say Tikanta Shabbos, we change the nusach for Ato Yotzarta. It's very rare that Shabbos, not very rare, but it's not too common. We have an opportunity to say the nusach of Ato Yotzarta only when Shabbos falls on Rosh Chodesh. The nusach of Ato Yotzarta is very similar to the nusach of Musaf of the Sholosh Shugol. It's unbelievable. What does that tell us? I will explain. So you think it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? No, it's Shabbos, regular Shabbos. It just also happens to be Rosh Chodesh. When it's Rosh Chodesh during the week, no, it's Rosh Chodesh. No, and it's a weekday. When Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh coincide, the Kedusha is so powerful, it elevates the Shabbos, it elevates the day to the equivalent of a Chag. And what is the proof? The Nusach, when you say, when you daven the Musaf Rosh Chodesh during the weekday, so Rosh Chodesh, Liam Chonosot, Zman Kapar, Lechol, Todosam, it's just okay, it's a nice Nusach. It's not at all similar to the Nusach of Musaf on the Shalosh Rugalim. When you daven Shabbos Musaf, Tikanta Shabbos, a nice Nusach for Shabbos. But when the two come together, the Musaf is transformed into a Musaf of the Shalosh Rugalim. That reveals to us that it's a totally different type of Shabbos. Completely. It's a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is equivalent to one of the Shalosh Rugalim. And especially when it's Shabbos HaChodesh, it's the first Shabbos of the year, HaChodesh Zer Lochem Rosh Chodeshim, Alach Haskam V'Kamu, the Kedusha of the Shabbos is beyond the Kedusha of any Shabbos that we've had this year so far. So, should appreciate the Kedusha of Shabbos, enjoy every minute, and don't underestimate what you could accomplish.